a ministry wife is a vocation without a job description. And let's be honest, sometimes it seems like ministry might be easier if we did have one. If you are a ministry wife like me and are looking for hope, perspective, and a little bit of practical advice regarding your role, you're in the right place. I'm Christine Hoover. Welcome to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. Join me as we hear from women from various ministry contexts, having authentic conversations about our shared joys and challenges, even the ones we're unsure we can talk about. No topic is off limits. Today, my guest is Tanya York. Tanya has been a ministry wife for 41 years. She's the mother of two sons who gave her two amazing daughters in grace and five fabulous grandkids. She is currently serving in the very full life of pastor's wife at Buck Run Baptist Church in Kentucky. They've been there for the last 18 years, and they serve in the life of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, where her husband, Herschel, is a professor and has been for 25 years, as well as the dean of the School of Theology. Tanya joins me today to talk about finding the fun and joy in ministry. This can be one of the most challenging aspects for pastors' wives. And so I asked Tanya how she finds fun, how she makes fun, how she chooses to be present and to enjoy the people around her in her church, and how she cultivates fun in her marriage. This is a really insightful and thought-provoking conversation. You are going to love Tanya. So here, friends, is my conversation with Tanya York. I'm so excited to get to have Tanya York on the podcast today. Welcome, Tanya.
Thanks, Christine. I've been looking forward to this.
Well, I have too, because this may be a first, but I was encouraged to have you as a guest by your daughter-in-law, who is also a pastor's wife. I want to read what she wrote because I thought it was so encouraging.
Okay.
Her name's Sarah, and she described you as encouraging, Christ-honoring, and just plain fun. There has been no one who has been more thoughtful, influential, tough, honest, and encouraging in my life as Tanya. I think that's amazing that your daughter-in-law said that about
speechless.
You.
I am speechless, but I'm honored and I'm just delighted. What a gift. What an incredible sweet grace is that.
I want to ask about that in a second, but first I want my listeners to get to know you and where you are, where you're sitting right now, what your ministry context is.
Okay. I serve in Frankfort, Kentucky as a pastor's wife. We've been here for, it'll be 19 years and 1 month. And we have delighted in serving this congregation. I've been in some form of ministry, pastor's role, wife ministry, for now 41 years. My husband also currently is a professor at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and he's the dean of the School of Theology. So I get a couple of places where we get to have ministry opportunities. But we live in the city of Frankfort, and it's a central Kentucky. So we're right in between Lexington and Louisville, Kentucky. And so central Kentucky areas where we draw from and serve in the community around there. And we love it. I've loved every facet of ministry. And especially right now, getting to do multiple things like this is really fun.
That's kind of fun that you have two different things.
It
that
is.
You can...
So really
I'd
is.
Love to know what your sweet spot is in the church world. And I'd love to know what your sweet spot is in the seminary world.
Okay. I love it because it really is two different worlds. But I have to say, I love the church and I love serving in the local church and I love all the ministry that that provides. At Buck Run, I love serving in community and with people. I really enjoy relationships and building relationships within my church body. Teach, and at our church, we do block teaching and not classroom teaching, where you just get one group of people and it's the same group and you just do life all three with them. It's like a 6 week or a 12 week kind of course that I will teach. And so it's really a different formula. I like it. And so you're getting, I get all different stages and ages of women that are coming into the classroom as opposed to the other ones. So we still build, we have community groups. So I'm still in relationship with those people, but
it'll be like, I'll teach 6 week in James or something, or typically some book of the Bible is what I end up doing. I did Mark not long ago, and Joshua. So I really like that. So I love getting to teach. I love doing things at our church, again, that are around community things. We're now doing something monthly called Equipping Women, where it's a real low level of commitment from women to basically just show up that night. And we have a surprise guest speaker who will do a Bible focused lesson, but it's so we can get people who aren't really connected to a church, even the first like entry level thing.
Yeah.
And so it's actually worked really well. It's a feeding ministry. We just do coffee and conversation and, community, and then Christ. So it's all in there. Now at seminary, basically, since Herschel serves as the dean, it pulls me into a lot of socializing kind of events and things like that. But I teach at Seminary Wives Institute. It's a certificate program, which is awesome. Been doing that now for 25 years. But I teach strategically marriage and family. And that's my class. It's a 6 week elective, and I love doing that. So that comes up about once a year. I have that. And then we do an essentials program where it's the basics of ministry. So I do both of those things. And then I'm also a trustee at North American Mission Board. I don't know if you knew that. Yeah. So I've got a lot of things I love doing in ministry.
Yes, you do. It sounds like. Okay. So now I want to go back to the daughter-in-law question.
Okay.
Because
all right.
You have two boys,
right?
And they're both married, and your daughter-in-law, as we already mentioned, submitted your name and was glowingly telling me about you. What have you done to invest specifically in your daughter-in-law relationships?
Okay. Well, first of all, I love them. And I seek to love them from the very beginning. I assume, you know, God adds to your family in different ways. He gives you biological children. Sometimes you adopt children. And sometimes he brings you and increases your family through marriage. All of those are ways you're going to love your children that the Lord grants you, however he gives them to you. And so I see marriage as just another one of those venues that he has done that through. So I make it a priority to spend time with them, to have, we talk regularly. We talk a lot about what's going on in their lives and what they're both of them are in ministry. Their husbands serve in ministry and they serve very well alongside them. So I don't just love them because they married my sons and they have given me grandchildren. I love them because we're friends.
Aww.
And we have forged friendships. And we look for sweet common ground there to enjoy each other on. That both of my girls are, the only thing they really have in common is they love Jesus and they love their families, but they're very, very different girls. And that's great. My sons are very different guys, and it's been fun. You know, you have sons and you see how different they can be.
Yes,
and
they are.
And you love those unique bends in each one of them. And so you try to find a way to feed that bend with that child. Well, I do that with my girls. And so we find their sweet spots and we sort of live in their sweet spots and enjoy that. So it's been great. They really are genuinely friendships. Not just
family.
That's
so great. I love those that little nugget that we've just gotten from you. Okay, so one word that Sarah used, your daughter-in-law used to describe you that really stuck out to me is the word fun. That you are fun. I think ministry can feel so serious and heavy all the time if we let it become that we lose sight of the joys and there can be fun had in ministry alongside our husbands. So I would love to hear from you. Where are you finding the fun in ministry?
All right. Well, first off, I would just say anywhere I can, because you are right that ministry can hold such weighty times. And, you know, I take sin very seriously and confronting sin in my own life and my own heart, but I don't take myself too seriously. And I've learned to laugh about things in ministry, and especially myself in ministry. You know, Proverbs gives us that great verse of a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bone. And then you've got the writer of Ecclesiastes, where he's talking about that our lives hold all these different seasons. You know, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh and a time to mourn and a time to dance. So life's going to hold, all of life holds all of that. That's what he's saying. But I think ministry offers this unique bend that those things all sort of overlap with each other. You can be having with a church body, a church fellowship, a time of mourning because of somebody close in your world having grief and lost something or going through a challenge. And at the very same time, you've got somebody who's celebrating and welcoming a new life or a new job or something like that. So you've got these incredible conflicting things that will go on. And I think it's precious that the Lord gives us this incredible grace in the midst of the hards, because ministry, you know, it's hard. There's a lot of hard in it, and there's a lot of heavy in it. And so I've been strategic in having to look for the lightness of graces that the Lord brings into ministry when it is those hards. And because it's the, you know, they can bring such levity into life when it's hard. You can have those sort of like, oh, well, that was a sweet, bright spot. Something very, like my mother had early onset Alzheimer's. And so she suffered with Alzheimer's for a long time. And that's a hard thing. It's a hard road to walk with someone and watch you lose a personality and you're losing life and light in their eyes. But at the same time, the Lord brought this lightness of a new person. I don't know how other to explain it. It's like I got a second mom who was, you know, I got the same mom who was disappearing. And then I got a little bit of a crazy mom who was appearing. And it was it turned into something that you could look at and just see such humor, even in the middle of hard. And one very specific thing we were in, I'd taken her to Disney because I just thought that would be a neat experience to watch, because she's, they sort of get childlike, you know, and I thought, well, that'll be sweet for her. And we're sitting on the ground watching the parade and it's starting, you know, it's going by and all of that. And she gets swept up in the moment and becomes, she joins the parade. And so, you know, in the moment of, oh no, this is not good. Disney was so great. They read the cues that they're, you know, what was going on. And we joined the parade. I joined the parade with my mom and we marched like we were part of it and we just owned it. And
I love that.
It was one of the most precious gifts that the Lord gave me in the middle of hard, you know, that would just give me that sweet lightness of, look, she was just laughing and she had her baton and everything. I mean, it was just hilarious. she was all in.
I love that. So, and I want to talk about that, but I want to go back to something you said at the very beginning. You said, I don't take myself too seriously.
Right.
I think that is a really hard thing to do as a pastor's wife, because you feel not just the weight of ministry and what people around you are going through, but you feel like you – sometimes the weight of feeling like you need to perform or you need to be what people want you to be or show up for what people want you to show up. And I think you're saying that's not even on your radar. So how did you get to that point where you could say, I just don't take myself too seriously?
Yeah, I think, I'm 61. So age brings a lot of that with you and experience. So having been almost 42 years now in ministry, you begin to discover what has been there all along and you just didn't know it, that you then start walking in a way where you go, I care too much about certain things that I shouldn't care about. And people people want to give you grace in general and things, and they like people who have a lightness about them and don't take themselves too seriously, and they don't, that helps people.
Yes, to, it gives them the freedom to.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And if you're serious, I see some ministry wives who are just so serious all the time. And I just want to go, look, just lighten up, you know, laugh when your kid does something that's so humiliating and ridiculous, because that's what's going to happen.
Yes.
And you're going to say crazy things, even sometimes, you know, like unbiblical things that you're going to go, you cannot live and perform perfectly.
Yeah.
Instead of go, wow. You know, like, it's funny, this last season that I taught a Sunday school class, I looked back at notes of when I first studied it. And I remember teaching something that I believed at the point, you know, like, oh, wow, this is deep truth. And then now look at it and I go, oh, that was so heretical. I cannot believe I taught that. You know, you have to know that you're going to grow spiritually, mm-hmm. emotionally, and all those things. And just look, sort of let yourself be that and do that. You know, like people sort of make fun of me. I have a joke that I say, I dye my hair blonde, so when I act so spacey and dumb, it makes perfect sense to people. So they're just like, oh, well, yeah, so it works for me. But they know that I can be fun and silly and love them and be serious about confronting sin at the same time. I think those things, you need that balance in
yes.
your life.
Yeah.
That helps people feel hope joy even in the hearts of things.
I think that reflects the heart of God, that he
delights
in us. I think you know, sometimes I just imagine him just getting so excited when someone discovers him or discovers something new about him. I think that's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He is a delighting God, and he also takes sin seriously. But even that, he comes alongside us and says, you can't do it, but I'll do it. I'll do it in you.
Right, right.
So it's all taken care of. Just relax, you know?
Right, right.
So I think that what you're saying reflects God, and it shows a maturity that we can get beyond taking ourselves too seriously. But I think also I want to ask, is what you're saying about looking for the fun, looking for those moments. Sometimes the weight of ministry can pull us so far toward the hard, so far toward the mourning, when people around us are experiencing such difficult things. It can be hard to even have eyes to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, see the good. And so I'm wondering, are there specific practices that you do that help you in that?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple of things. First of all, I have fun with my spouse, and we put on the calendar a getaway or a vacation time that I know we keep that in the cycle of our life. So it gives us a respite to sort of go, you know, because if you don't get away with your spouse, if you know, Herschel's father used to say all the time, if you don't come apart from ministry every once in a while, you'll come apart in ministry.
And so true.
So we just sort of, we come apart and we reconnect with each other. We do things like we play games, we go on a fun vacation. But I get that on the calendar because in the center of when life is really challenging and really hard and a bunch of things are all hitting at once, I have before me, there is a light at the end of this tunnel where I'm going to get a respite. So it helps me hang. That's a personal thing that I sort of need for me to do. But then I know this sounds kind of silly, but I look for the uniqueness of and the quirkiness within my church body that I can sort of learn to delight in. You know, Christians can be quirky, and you see that all through the Bible. I mean, you've got great examples of quirkiness. You know, John the Baptist, can you even imagine what he must have been like in person? So that doesn't mean that's a bad thing. That just means there's a uniqueness in it. And so I look to find even delight in that uniqueness and quirkiness within my church body of people. And in the when they are giving me moments of hard, I can learn to sort of love them over that because of seeing them in a unique way. Is that making sense?
Well, can you give an example of maybe a quirk that you're talking about?
Okay. Like, for example, I have a lady, she has passed away now, so I feel free. I won't call her by name, but she would hunt me up on a regular basis at church. And she was one of those women who did church doors are open, she's going to show up. Uh-huh. So she would hunt me up and she would just go off on all the complaints that she does about life and about the church. And I wish we still did this. And don't you wish we still did that? And I found myself I'd even ask the Lord, please don't let me run into her. She drives me crazy. Well, you know, now what kind of prayer is that? That is just so odd. And so I just thought, Lord, help me see her uniqueness and even her quirkiness, and sort of help me to figure out a way to love that uniqueness, or at least handle it and be able to grant her grace and those things and sort of do it. And so I did this weird mental game. I know it sounds kind of strange, but I learned to brace myself knowing that she's coming. Uh-huh. You know, you're going to get those people and they're going to show up typically over and over again in your life. And so I braced myself for coming. And so I mentally prepared myself to love her and expect her to do those things. And so I came up with like a phrase that I would incorporate into our conversation that sort of just reminded me, don't take her too serious and don't take yourself too serious. And like, she would be like, can you believe this is, and don't you miss that? And I go, get out. You do not mean that. And I would just put that phrase in there somewhere. And that would be my thing that would just go, or I'd go, shut the front door. And she would, and it would just sort of lighten me from that moment of feeling that intense anger and complaint. And, I don't like complainers at all. And I found myself just being so frustrated with her. Uh-huh. And I learned that frustration's on me because she's not acting out of character. That's who she is. Yes. And I can't change who she is, but I can change the way I perceive that and I process that.
I get what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, it's almost like you were joking with yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly what I was doing. It was, like it helped me to just go, okay, you know, and I could just listen to her and smile. And then, you know, she would leave and I wouldn't feel that weight and that frustration, and I wouldn't feel the need to avoid her. Huh. Like, you know that feeling, right?
I have never thought of doing that before. That is a new idea for me. But I love that because it just puts you in a different place.
Mm-hmm. It really does. It starts you out with a different heart. Then, it's like a dreading heart that you enter into if you don't prepare your heart to not have that dread.
I would love to know more about how you engage people at church, because I think you're talking a lot about choosing to be grateful, choosing to see the best, choosing to bring fun and lightheartedness to the situation. So how do you do that? How do you really enjoy the people around you, let's say on a Sunday morning?
Okay, on a Sunday morning. Well, first of all, I work hard to build relationships that are outside of just Sunday morning. So that way, I cannot say enough about doing things like mission trips with your church body, doing international mission trips or domestic trips, because you serve with people. And it puts you in situations that make you see people in a different light and helps them see you in a different light. Yes. They get to see you a little more human than that. So I look for and engage in as many opportunities as I can possibly do. And we did even when our boys were young, we engaged in both of those things. But even say with our student ministry, I will do things that will do lighthearted things. Like we have an amusement park, Kings Island, that's in Ohio. And our students go there once a year. And I would put that on my radar to go to Kings Island with the students and do the coaster rides. And, you know, we're going to be the front coaster of the thing. And,
I love this.
Yeah, we'll do mission trips with students. And so they will see you in a very, very different way. And, you know, things happen on mission trips that are completely unplanned and frustrating. Yes. Right. And so you have to figure out a way to turn those frustrations into fun things. We went to the jungles of Manaus, Brazil, and it's 100% humidity. It's over 100 degrees. It's super, super hot. And we're with this group of students and we're working to build a camp there. And I'm taught it's muddy, muddy, muddy to the max. It's just hot. I can't even tell you. Well, anyway, our washing machine broke. Oh, and so no. We became the washing team. We formed a washing team, and we got a song and a dance routine that we performed, and it turned what was frustrating and awful into something that, you know, this happened, I'm thinking now, maybe 8 years ago. And so the students who now are married and still part of my life, we have that bond of fun that happened. And like, we could just bring up, do you remember that? And, or do a certain move that we did in the dance. And it relives that whole experience. And it gives you interaction opportunities. And this is where it's important in their life, when maybe they need some Christian voice in their life, that where they aren't listening to Christian voice as much. And you've bonded with them in those fun things, and you get to interject into their life. And it's like, man, that was such a sweet time. And, you know, the Lord just has used those on different occasions. Yeah. It's sweet.
I just think that a truly joyful Christian is so unique. That kind of person, that what you're saying about a teenager seeing that. Mm-hmm. And then when they're going through something serious and difficult, they're like, there's something, there's joy there. True joy.
Right. Yeah. I can't comprehend a Christian being absent of joy. I'm not saying that you find joy in every single thing, but that there has to be waves, continual waves of that flooding through your life. And that's a uniqueness of Christianity that I think has to show up, that draws people to Christ. It says in his presence is fullness of joy. And so I don't leave his presence, and he doesn't leave my presence. And so the possibility to have a joyful heart, even in the middle of some very, very hard things, are choices that a Christian gets to make and should make. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it really is. It's incumbent upon the Christian to remind herself that you have the responsibility to portray the joy of Christ in your life.
Can you speak to the sense of duty that sometimes we feel? There's such a contrast to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And I think about my daily rhythms, my weekly, monthly rhythms in ministry. It can easily become routine or rote and even a duty to me. How do you combat that? Because I would imagine, I mean, I was thinking a while ago, Tanya, do you ever get grumpy? And I'm sure that you do.
Oh,
but
yes.
How do you combat that sense of duty in ministry and instead remember that there's delight and joy in what you're doing?
I have a conversation with the Lord in my heart and my mind. That verse where it says, asking things continually with thanksgiving. And, you know, so I'm keeping in my brain that the Lord is not surprised by what's happening in my life. H.B. Charles preached a sermon one time. He preached it at our church, that he said, words you'll never hear God say, wow, I never saw that coming. Yeah. And that was so refreshing to me. And so I keep a conversation in my heart and my mind. This did not surprise the Lord. He is not surprised by that. And he withholds no good from me. So there is something in this that he is doing that is very, very good, even though I am not aware of what that is. And then I just say, Tanya, don't mess that up. Don't mess up that good. Don't miss it. Don't mess it up. And, you know, as far as like practically speaking, I have a really dear friend that now she's no longer a member at our church. She and her husband moved away. She's an African-American friend. And she would have, when my husband would preach, she would have a conversation with Herschel when he would preach. And he would preach. It's awesome.
I love responsive listening in sermons.
It's so great.
Yes.
It changed the dynamic of our church, and it changed the dynamic of the way I read my Bible and I talked to the Lord and prayed with the Lord. Listen to what happened. So like, for instance, my husband was preaching and he said something that was a really great truth that he made really, really clear that was a complicated thing if you read it in the scripture. And so when he said it, she went, pastor, that's so good. You made it plain. Make it plain, pastor. And she said that to him, and it was like a light switch came on in my heart. So now when I read the scriptures, and often I will read them out loud instead of just silently, because my brain wanders terribly. Mm-hmm. And so I will read it out loud and I will say to the Lord, Lord, that is so good. You have made that so plain. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making that plain. Help me not be that way. I don't want to do that. And so I will say that out loud and I will talk to the Lord with that. And I read his word and he communicates so clearly. Often he's there with us, mm-hmm. you know, that the word of God really is alive. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we forget that it's alive. We just think they're words on a page that were written long ago, but that's not the case with the word of God. Mm-hmm. It's made to bring life into the situation of whatever we are facing, hard and good. You know, you can't read the book of Job and not recognize all the hard, but then at the end, how he verbalizes back to the Lord, his Lord, here's who you are. Here's mm-hmm. who I am. And so I think we've sort of missed that dynamic, I think, in the way we look at our Christianity and walk of conversation with the Lord, that we see him talking to men and women of old and we forget, no, that's live and talking mm-hmm. to our world, our context today.
Yes. I want to go back to, you mentioned mm-hmm. you and your husband a little bit going away. Mm-hmm. I think of many women listening who are thinking, man, my husband is just so weighed down with
right.
the work that he's doing. He maybe just is discouraged. Mm-hmm. How do you bring fun into your marriage?
Okay. Well, again, we don't take ourselves too seriously, and we do crazy things sometimes, you know, things that sort of just, in the middle of, there'll be something really hard. Like say, even my husband and I will be having a disagreement and it's like, I'm just mad as a wet hen at him, or he's mad at me and we're just tense and everything. And he will do something super silly, lighthearted. I'm going to call him out on this. It's funny, but he'll go, I'm going to clog. And my husband's so awkwardly uncoordinated. If you can just picture the most awkward, and he'll just start clogging. And there's something you cannot stay serious and intense.
No, you can't.
In those moments, you just like, why would, you know, it's like, even if you want to stay intense, you can't, because it's so silly in that moment. But it's a reminder of, you know, just lighten up. Those things that seem so earth-shaking life-changing, grief-stricken will pass. They will pass. Mm-hmm. And you've just got to sometimes not let that be 100% weighty. And mm-hmm. you're like, we will even do something. We call it hyperconnect when we're in a season of either a terrible trial going on in ministry, something awful, either a challenge in the church or a challenge in your family, so whatever it is. And Herschel and I will look at each other and we'll just go, look, we're going to be good through this. Okay. I'm still your wife and I'm still loving you and I'm still being connected to you. And let's do us well in the middle of this. Mm-hmm. What's going on out there is rough, but let's do this. Let's not let that come over and take away from us what it cannot take away from us. We just can't let it do that. And because it can produce resentment and it can crush your spirit. And, you know, we'll have to look at each other and go, you know, I love you. We're getting through this. You know, good job, babe. You know, I'm sorry. Pray for me. I'm feeling hard. I'm feeling joyless. I don't want to feel that. I know that's not God's design and desire. And yet I know this is a season and let's hang tight. Let's be team York.
Yes.
And get through it.
One of the things that my husband and I learned when we're in seasons like that is to spend intentional time, what we call counting the wins. And look, it's basically looking for God's hand, right? And saying,
yes,
thank you, God, for, you know, there may be a lot of hard things, but there are some good things to celebrate always. And it might be small, but we're going to name those out loud to each other.
Absolutely.
And there's something about that that just changes the perspective and reminds you God is there. He's working. He hasn't forgotten.
Yeah.
And just a final question. I'm thinking for women who are, they're listening to you and they're like, man, I have just gotten so burdened down, weighed down with life that I have not been cultivating fun. Mm-hmm. I haven't been looking for the good. So what would you say to a woman like that? Just the first thing you would encourage her to do?
Yeah, I would encourage you to know that you're not stuck in that. You know, even some people go, well, I'm a pessimistic personality, or I have a hard time looking at the bright side of things. Well, you know, personality is often our problem. So you can't ever use your personality as an excuse. Uh-huh. You know, sanctification is what the Lord helps you use to overcome your personality problems. So if you're not naturally that, you don't get to say, well, that doesn't come natural to me. Mm-hmm. You get to say, well, the Holy Spirit can help me be what I am not naturally and grow you in that. And so understand you're not stuck being sad all the time and heavy all the time. You can ask the Lord to help you see lightness in things, help you look for those wins, like you said. And I would start by doing very practical, basic things, like just writing out my wins, you know, like you said, and sharing them out loud with your husband, sharing them out loud with another sister in Christ, a fellow pastor's wife, sharing them with your children. You feed that perspective of life to your children. And I'm aware that the way I responded as a mom to my young children was crafting perspectives in their life. And I took very seriously that I did not want them to despise their calling, God's call on their life. And so if I acted despondent and sad and acted how I felt all the time in those moments, then I would be painting pictures for my sons that I did not want them to replicate. And, you know, they understood ministry's hard. They grew up and hard, and they watched us go through hard things, but they also were able to see in the hard, the Lord delivers joy by buckets and wins and graces. And I had to just find those things and pursue living like I believe the Lord was a good God.
Yes. Yeah. I think of that verse, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That mm-hmm. God's delight, his joy mm-hmm. in what he has done for us and in us. That mm-hmm. is something that can carry us along even through mm-hmm. really difficult things. So I'm mm-hmm. so glad we had this conversation. This has been
Me
super
too.
fun, oh, no pun yeah. intended, but helpful in thinking through how do we approach ministry? How do we approach life? How do we approach marriage, children, that kind of thing? So thank you, Tanya, for joining me.
Thank you, Christine. Thank you for doing this ministry. Thank you for giving a peek into other ministry wives' lives. So it gives us like open doors. And it's like, oh, me too. I feel that. This is just an incredible, incredible grace and gift. Even this far into ministry, as I listen to your podcast, I'm so encouraged by seeing how the Lord is just faithful and good, and he works in so many different venues.
Well, thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Ministry Wives podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. If you found this content helpful, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your podcast platform or share it with a friend. You can find this podcast and other helpful resources at ministrywivespodcast.com.